What's new, Brandon?
I don't know. I've been a little sleepy now.
A little sleepy?
It's a little past my bedtime.
Yeah, same here, but we got a debate coming up. We're waiting.
What?
Yep.
What? Where?
Who? Right there, right in front of you.
Oh, I'll take him out back and punch him in the jaw.
Yes. I'm going to take another. Is there so much thing as too much Pepto-Bismol?
Let's see if you get high.
What if I already am?
Oh, look. There's Mr. Wallace. That's a nice desk. I wish we had a desk like that.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned that Fox News is hosting the first debate, but Chris Wallace, no, I trust him.
Yeah.
I trust him.
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's got glasses.
He does. I like his glasses. He looks ready to go, like we are.
Yeah. We're not in suits, though.
No.
I wonder if he's going to start chugging Pepto-Bismol.
I'm not taking any more of this.
What did it say?
It just says
good evening.
Don't.
From the health education campus of Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Chris Wallace of Fox News, and I welcome you to the first of the 2020 presidential debates between President Donald J. Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden.
Has his voice always
this debate
like
is
this?
Sponsored by the Commission
My gels
on
won't
Presidential
get in the way, I promise.
The Commission has designed the format, six roughly 15-minute segments, with two-minute answers from each candidate to the first question, then open discussion for the rest of each segment. Both campaigns have agreed to these rules. For the record, I decided the topics and the questions in each topic. I can assure you,
really
none of the questions has been shared with the commission or the two candidates. This debate is being conducted under health and safety protocols designed by the Cleveland Clinic, which is serving as the health security advisor to the commission for all four debates.
All four of them.
As a precaution, both campaigns have agreed that candidates will not shake hands at the beginning of tonight's debate.
Decisions.
The audience here in the hall has promised to remain silent. No cheers,
no boos,
or other interruptions, so we, and more importantly you, can focus on what the candidates have to say. No noise except right now, as we welcome the Republican nominee, President Trump, and the Democratic nominee,
here we go,
Vice
man.
President
oh,
Biden.
Oh, here we go.
Here it is.
Yay. Let's see, do they do a fist bump? Do they do, oh, yeah. Look at that $75,000 hairdo.
How you doing, man? How are you
doing? Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, bruh?
You want a pound of brewski?
Gentlemen, a lot of people have been waiting for this night, so let's get going. Our first subject is the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
President Trump, you nominated Amy Coney Barrett over the weekend to succeed the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court. You say the Constitution is clear about your obligation and the Senate's to consider a nominee to the court. Vice President Biden, you say that this is an effort by the president and Republicans to jam through an appointment and what you call an abuse of power. My first question to both of you tonight, why are you right in the argument you make and your opponent wrong? And where do you think a Justice Barrett would take the court? President Trump, in this first segment, you go first. 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chris. I will tell you very simply, we won the election. Elections have consequences. We have the Senate, we have the White House, and we have a phenomenal nominee, respected by all, top academic, good in every way. In fact, some of her biggest endorsers are very liberal
right on
people
her chest.
From Notre Dame and other places. So I think she's going to be fantastic. We have plenty of time. Even if we did it after the election itself, I have a lot of time after the election, as you know. So I think that she will be outstanding.
Lose.
She's right. Going to be as good as anybody that has served on that court. We really feel that. We have a professor at Notre Dame, highly respected by all, said she's the single greatest student he's ever had. He's been a professor for a long time at a great school. And we
places.
Won the election, and therefore we have the right to choose her. And very
smart.
Few people knowingly would say otherwise. And by the way, the Democrats, they wouldn't even think about not doing it. If they had, the only difference is they'd try and do it faster. There's no way they would give it up.
Hey, it's me, Biden's son. I thought we were in the Asian massage parlor.
He's awake.
And probably that would happen in reverse also. Definitely would happen in reverse. So we won the election, and we have the right to do it, Chris.
Is this 2 minutes up yet? Jesus
President Christ. Trump, thank you. Same question to you, Vice President Biden. You have 2 minutes.
And he was confident. Well,
first of all,
things right,
thank you for doing this. And
is it
I'm forward to this, Mr. President.
Thank you, Joe.
Don't be sleepy.
The American people have a right to have a say in who the Supreme Court nominee is. And that say occurs when they vote for a United States senators and when they vote for the President of the United States.
Who else has taken two?
They're not going to get that chance now because we're in the middle of an election already.
Who's taking more Oxy or who's taking more Pepto, me or him?
Tens of thousands of people have already voted. And so the thing that should happen is we should wait. We should wait and see what the outcome of this election is, because that's the only way the American people get to express their view is by who they elect as president and who they elect as vice president. Now, what's at stake here is the president's made it clear he wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. He's been running on that. He ran on that, and he's been governing on that. He's in the Supreme Court right now trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which will strip 20 million people from having insurance, health insurance now, if it goes into court. And the justice, I'm not opposed to the justice. She seems like a very fine person.
Just look.
But she's
to my
written
left.
Before she went in the bench,
keep
which is her right, that she thinks that the Affordable Care Act is not constitutional. The other thing that's on the court, and if it's struck down, what happens?
Ice cream.
Women's rights are fundamentally changed. Once again, a woman could be held, pay more money because she has a pre-existing condition of pregnancy. They were able to charge more for the same exact procedure a man gets. And that ended when we, in fact, passed the Affordable Care Act. And there's 100 million people who have pre-existing conditions, and they'll be taken away as well. Those pre-existing conditions, the insurance companies are going to love this. And so it's just not appropriate to do this before this election. If he wins the election and the Senate is Democrat or Republican, then he goes forward. If not, we should wait until February. All right.
There aren't 100 million people with pre-existing conditions. As far as the say is concerned, the people already had their say. Justice Ginsburg said very powerfully, very strongly, at some point, 10 years ago or so, she said a president and the Senate is elected for a period of time. But a president's elected for 4 years. We're not elected for 3 years. I'm not elected for 3 years. So we have the Senate. We have a president.
He's elected to the next
during
election.
During that period of time, we have an opening. I'm not elected for 3 years. I'm elected for 4 years. The 100 million people is totally wrong. I don't know where you got that number. The bigger problem that you have is that you're going to extinguish 180 million people with their private health care that they're very
That's
happy with.
That's simply not true.
Well, you're certainly going to socialist. You're going to socialist.
Number
one, he knows that what I proposed. What I proposed is that we expand Obamacare and we increase it. We do not wipe any. And one of the big debates we had with 23 of my colleagues trying to win the nomination that I won, were saying that Biden wanted to allow people to have private insurance still. They can. They do. They will under my proposal.
It's not what you've said, but and it's not what your party has said.
That is simply
your party
a lie.
Doesn't say it. Your party wants to go socialist medicine.
My party is
and
me.
Socialist
right
health.
You want to be a goddamn communist.
I dominate you, Joe. You know that.
I am totally the Democratic Party right now. The platform of the
not
Democratic Party
Harris.
Is what I, in fact, approved of. What I approved of. Now, here's the deal. The deal is that it's going to wipe out pre-existing conditions. And by the way, the 200,000 people that have died on his watch, how many of those have survived? Well, there's 7 million people that contracted COVID. What does it mean for them going forward if you strike down the Affordable Care Act?
And Joe, you've had 308,000 military people dying because you couldn't provide them proper health care in the military. So don't tell me
I'm
about this.
I'm happy to talk about this.
And if you were here, it wouldn't be 200.
Wait,
it would
the
be
military
2 million
has social
people
health
because
care.
You were very late on the door. You didn't
Joe,
want me to ban
eloquent,
China,
man.
Which was heavily infected. You didn't want me to ban
All right, we're, gentlemen,
Europe,
we're,
which
no,
was heavily
infected.
You would have been much later, Joe.
Mr. President.
You're talking about 2 million people.
You're not President, as a moderator. We are going to talk about COVID in the next segment, but go ahead.
Let me finish. The point is that the president also is opposed to Roe v. Wade. That's on the ballot as well in the court, And so that's also at stake right now. And so the election is already
begun. You don't know it's on the ballot. Why is it in the ballot?
Because
why is it on the ballot? It's not on the ballot.
It's on the ballot in the court.
I don't think so.
In the court.
Well, there's nothing happening there.
Where am I? Who is there?
And you don't know her view on Roe v. Wade.
I don't know her view.
Well, Joe, you need to fight him. Right, let's talk.
Come on, Joe. Jesus. Take him out back and give him a sucker to the chin.
We got a lot of time. So, on health care, and then we'll come back to Roe v. Wade.
All right.
Mr. President, the Supreme Court will hear a case a week after the election in which the Trump administration, along with 18 state attorneys general, are seeking to overturn Obamacare, to end Obamacare.
You have spent the last year.
Because they want to give good health care.
If I may ask my question, sir.
Good health care.
He's interrupted Chris.
The last 4 years, you have promised to repeal and replace Obamacare, but you have never in these 4 years come up with a plan, a comprehensive plan to replace Obamacare.
Of course I have.
Well,
what is it?
Dipshit. Now he's arguing with Chris Wallace.
Who are we debating here? God damn it.
That is absolutely a big thing. That was the worst part of Obamacare.
Sir,
Chris, that was the worst part of Obamacare.
Let me ask my question.
Well, I'll ask Joe.
Individual
mandate was the most unpopular aspect of Obamacare. I got rid of
which voice in my head are you? God damn it, Chris.
I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask my question, and then you can answer.
Go ahead.
You, in the course of these 4 years, have never come up with a comprehensive plan.
That's the president of the United States.
Raise your hand if you
Obamacare, and just this last Thursday,
they need, like,
you
Zoom, the
signed a
thing.
Largely symbolic executive order to protect people with pre-existing conditions 5 days before this debate. So my question, sir, is what is the Trump health care plan?
Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him, but that's okay. I'm not surprised. Let me just tell you something. There's nothing symbolic. I'm cutting drug prices. I'm going with favored nations, which no president has the courage to do because you're going against big pharma. Drug prices will be coming down 80 or 90%. You could have done it during your 47-year period in government, but you didn't do it. Nobody's done it. So we're cutting health care. All of the things that we've done, insulin.
He just said we're cutting health care. He literally just said that.
It's destroying families, destroying people. The cost, I'm getting it for so cheap.
I think I just
it's like water, you want to know the truth.
Yeah,
so cheap. Take a look at all the drugs that what we're doing, prescription drug prices. We're going to allow our governors now to go to other countries to buy drugs because
when they thought
buy
America
just
was
a
best.
Tiny fraction.
As I say, this is open discussion.
No,
let
but
me
this
ask
is
you about,
big,
let me,
this
you'll
is
be happy,
big stuff.
Sir, you'll be happy. I'm about to pick up on one of your points to ask the vice president, which is he points out that you would like to have
a
public option to Obamacare. And the argument that he makes and other Republicans make is that that is going to end private insurance.
It is
and
not.
Well,
God damn it, Biden.
It will end
what your party says, by the way.
It will end private insurance and create a government takeover of health care.
It does not. It's only for those people who are so poor they qualify for Medicaid. They can get that free.
Hey, did,
in
I,
most
did
states,
I pronounce it right?
Governor,
I got it. Medicaid.
People who are poor, Medicaid. Anyone who qualifies for Medicare would Medicaid would automatically be enrolled in the public option. The vast majority of the American people would still not be in that option, number one.
Joe, you agreed with Bernie Sanders, who's far left, on the manifesto,
manifesto.
And that gives you socialized medicine.
Talk to this hand. Talk to this hand.
Listen to him. The fact of the matter is, I beat Bernie Sanders.
Not by much.
That was actually a good job.
I beat him a whole hell of a lot. I'm here standing facing you, old buddy.
Pocahontas would have left 2 days early. You would have lost every prize.
Oh, my God.
He knows how to do it for Tuesday. You got very lucky.
Here's the deal. I got very lucky. I'm going to get very lucky tonight as well. And tonight I'm going to make sure.
Because, see, I told you he thought he was in the Asian massage parlor.
Everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you,
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure.
You graduated last in your class, not first in your class.
I want to make sure.
Mr. President, can you let him finish, sir?
No, he doesn't know how to do that. He has,
you'd
you know,
surprised.
You pick
be surprised.
The wrong guy, the wrong night.
Mama son
knows
how I finish.
You agreed with
here's
Bernie
the deal.
Sanders.
Yeah.
There
is no manifesto, number
Please
one.
Please let him speak, Mr. President.
Number two.
He just lost the left.
Number two.
You just lost the left. You agreed with Bernie Sanders on a plan.
Folks, do you have any idea what this clown's doing?
Socialized medicine.
Mr. President.
Well, I tell you what. He is not for any help for people needing health care. Because he, in fact, already has cost 10 million people their health care that they had from their employers because of his recession. Number one. Number two, there are 20 million people getting health care through Obamacare now that he wants to take away. He won't ever look you in the eye and say that's what he wants to do. Take it away.
No, I want to give him better health care at a much lower price because Obamacare has already fixed it to an extent.
He has never offered a plan, as you might know, but probably does. Gentlemen,
you realize if you're both speaking at the same time,
really
it's too expensive.
This isn't even a debate.
Obamacare is no good. We made it better. And I had a choice to make very early on. We took away the individual mandate. We guarantee pre-existing conditions, but took away the individual
mandate. There's no Asian massage parlors here, Mr. President.
Listen, this is the way it is. And that destroyed that. They shouldn't even call it Obamacare. Then I had a choice to make. Do I let my people run it really well or badly? Yeah. If I run it badly, they'll probably blame him, but they'll blame me. But more importantly, I want to help people.
If I run it badly, they'll blame him.
So well. That's what I just had a meeting with them. They said the problem is no matter how well you run Obamacare, it's a disaster. It's too expensive. Premiums are too high, and it doesn't work. So we do want to get rid of it. Chris, we want to get rid of it.
I understand.
They almost need to stop this.
I have to give you roughly equal time. Please let the vice president talk.
Good.
He has no plan for health care.
Of course we do.
Please.
He sends out wishful thinking. He has executive orders that have no power. He hasn't lowered drug costs for anybody. He's been promising a health care plan since he got elected. He has none, like almost everything else he talks about. He does not have a plan.
The wall.
He doesn't have a plan. And the fact is, this man doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right.
He's
I have one final question for you,
sure,
Mr. Vice President. If Senate Republicans, we were
talking about
the Supreme Court here.
Oh, that's
if
right.
Senate
we started
Republicans
the Supreme Court.
Go ahead and confirm Justice Barrett. There has been talk about ending the filibuster or even packing the court, adding to the 9 justices there.
Oh,
you call this a distraction
this
by the president.
You know
in fact, it wasn't brought up by the president.
It
was brought up
today
by some of your Democratic colleagues
in
the Congress.
I really
so my question to you is, you have refused in the past to talk about it. Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take on that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote.
Hey,
you're in voting
I'm
now.
In
vote and let
right
your
now
senators know how strongly you feel.
Let
vote now. Make sure you, in fact, let people know you're a senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the question is, the question is,
radical left.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen, who is on your list?
I think
this
we've
is
ended
so
this
unprecedented.
He's going to pack the court.
We have ended.
I'm not going to give a list.
We have
can I get a
list?
Can I get a roy?
The second segment.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? Keep yapping, man.
The people understand, Jack.
Oh,
they 47 years, you've done nothing. They understand.
All right. The second subject is COVID-19, which is an awfully serious subject. So
I think they're all serious.
Everything's serious. The world is on fire.
Cases of coronavirus in the United States, and more than 200,000 people have died. Even after we produce a vaccine, experts say that it could be months or even years before we come back.
Trump promises to have something to stick in your arm by the end of October.
Normal. My question for both of you is, based on what you have said and done so far, and what you have said you would do starting in 2021, why should the American people trust you more than your opponent to deal with this public health crisis going forward? In this case, the question goes to you first, sir. 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
200,000 dead. As you said, over 7 million infected in the United States. We, in fact, have 5%, 4% of the world's population, 20% of the deaths. 40,000 people a day are contracting COVID. In addition to that, about between 750 and 1,000 people a day are dying. When he was presented with that number, he said it is what it is. Well, it is what it is because you
Trump's
are who
pissed.
You are.
Yeah, he is.
That's why it is. The president has no plan. He hasn't laid out anything. He knew all the way back in February how serious this crisis was. He knew it was a deadly disease. What did he do? He's on tape as acknowledging he knew it. He said he didn't tell us or give people a warning of it because he didn't want to panic the American people. You don't panic. He panicked. In addition to that, what did he do? He went in and we were insisting that the people we had on the ground in China should be able to go to Wuhan and determine for themselves how dangerous this was. He did not even ask Xi to do that. He told us what a great job Xi was doing. He said we owe him a debt of gratitude for being so transparent with us.
And do stuff on
China? What did he do then? Mm. He then did nothing. He waited and waited and waited. He still doesn't have a plan. I laid out back in March exactly what we should be doing. And I laid out again in July what we should be doing. We should be providing all the protective gear possible. We should be providing the money the House has passed in order to be able to go out and get people the help they need to keep their businesses open, open schools. It costs a lot of money. You should get out of your bunker and get out of the sand trap and get in your golf course.
Because that's
and go
right.
In the
you went to his bunker.
Office and bring together the Democrats and Republicans and fund what needs to be done now to save lives.
So
where did this Biden come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Out of the sand trap.
If we would have listened to you,
out of the, sand
the country
trap,
would have been left
bunker.
Wide open. Millions of people would have died, not 200,000. And one person is too much. It's China's fault. It should have never happened. They stopped it from going in, but it was China's fault. And by the way, when you talk about numbers, you don't know how many people died in China. You don't know how many people died in Russia. You don't know how many people died in India. They don't exactly give you a straight count, just so you understand. But if you look at what we've done, I closed it, and you said he's xenophobic. He's a racist, and he's xenophobic, because you didn't think I should have closed our country.
Wait a minute. It says 2 minutes.
You didn't think we should have closed our country because you thought it was terrible. You wouldn't have closed it for another 2 months. By my doing it early, in fact, Dr. Fauci said, President Trump saved thousands of lives. Many
Hashtag
of your Democrat governors said, President Trump did a phenomenal job. We worked with the governor. Oh, really? Go take a look. The governors said I did a phenomenal job. Most of them said that. In fact, people that would not be necessarily on my side said that. President Trump did a phenomenal job. We did. We got the gowns. We got the masks. We made the ventilators. You wouldn't have made ventilators. And now we're weeks away from a vaccine. We're doing therapeutics already. Fewer people are dying when they get sick. Far fewer people are dying. We've done a great job. The only thing I haven't done a good job, and that's because of the fake news. No matter what you say to them, they give you bad press on it. It's just fake news. They give you good press. They give me bad press because that's the way it is, unfortunately. But let me just tell you something. I don't care. I've gotten used to it. But I'll tell you, Joe, you could never have done the job that we did. You don't have it in your blood. You could have never done that job.
I know how to do the job. I know how to get the job done.
Well, you didn't do very well in swine flu. H1N1, you were a disaster. Your own chief of staff said you were a disaster.
14,000 people died, not 200,000. There was no economic recession.
Sir, you made a point.
There was no recession.
You made a point. Let him answer.
And there was no one. We didn't shut down the economy. This is his economy that's being he shut down. The reason it's shut down
like
is because
tying the economy
look,
to Trump,
you folks at home, how many of you get up this morning
so
and
great.
Had an empty chair at the kitchen table because someone died of COVID? How many of you were in a situation where you lost your mom or dad and you couldn't even speak to them? You had a nurse holding a phone up so you could, in fact, say goodbye.
You would have lost far
how
more
many
people.
People.
Far
that is,
more people. And, you would have been
and by the way,
late.
Your own his own CDC director says we could lose as many as another 200,000 people between now and the end of the year. And he held up. He said, if we just wear a mask, we can save half those numbers.
Just
a mask.
Oh, something simple.
And by the way, in terms of the whole notion of a vaccine. We're for a vaccine, but I don't trust him at all, nor do you. I know you don't. What we trust is a scientist.
You don't
trust Dr.
Johnson
Fauci.
And Johnson, Pfizer.
Big Pharma. Fuck them.
Big Pharma, right? Yeah.
Questions about the future, because you both have touched on two of the questions I'm going to ask. Focusing on the future first, President Trump, you have repeatedly either contradicted or been at odds with some of your government's own top scientists. The week before
top
last,
people
the head
that know
of
things,
the
everybody.
Centers for Disease
people
Control, Dr.
Things.
Redfield, said it would be summer before the vaccine would become generally available to the public. You said that he was confused and mistaken. Those were your two words.
Yeah.
But Dr. Slawi, the head of your Operation Warp Speed, has said exactly the same thing. Are they both wrong?
Well, I've spoken to the companies, and we can have it a lot sooner. It's a very
the
political
companies.
Thing, because people
That's
like this
right.
would rather
the
make it political
make
than save lives.
It
is a very
to.
Political thing. I've spoken to Pfizer. I've spoken to all of the people that you have to speak to. We have great
Moderna, all the people you have
Johnson
to speak to.
Johnson,
the CEOs
yeah.
of
they
pharmaceutical
can go faster than that by a lot.
I
become very political
that.
Because the left, or I don't know if
so,
I call
so
him left, I don't know what I call him.
So you're the head of your Operation Warp Speed, Dr. Slawi?
I disagree with
call
him.
Call him Mr.
No,
Vice
no, I
President.
I disagree with both of them. And he didn't say that.
I disagree
he said
with
it
scientists.
Could be there, but it could also be much sooner. I had him in my office two days ago.
He talked about the summer, sir, before it's generally available. Just like
he
Dr.
said,
Redford.
It's a possibility that we'll have the answer before November 1st. It could also
I'm
be after
that. Generally available.
It,
not
well, we're going to deliver it right away. We have the military
right
all
away.
Set up logistically. They're all set up. We have our military that delivers soldiers, and they can do 200,000 a day. They're going to be
this is the same man
it's
who
all
told
set
you
up.
By Easter this would be gone away. By the warm weather, it'd be gone. Miraculous, like a miracle. And by the way, maybe you could inject some bleach in your arm, and that would take
oh!
care of
it.
Oh! Sarcastically,
that was
you know that.
I,
yeah,
I
because that's what you do. You
so
say sarcastic
this,
in a pandemic.
This man is talking about a
that's
vaccine.
That's what cures it.
Every serious company is talking about maybe having a vaccine done by the end of the year. But the distribution of that vaccine will not occur until sometime beginning or the middle of next year to get it out, if we get the vaccine. And pray God we will. May God, we
Mr.
will.
Mr. Vice President, I want to pick up
You'll have
on
the vaccine
I want to pick
that.
Up on this Edison, question, though. You
promise.
Say the public
Edison.
Can trust the scientists,
God
but they can't
it,
trust
Joe,
President Trump. In fact, you said that again tonight. Your running mate, Senator Harris, goes further, saying the public health experts, quote, will be muzzled, will be suppressed. Given the fact that polls already show that people are concerned about the vaccine and are reluctant to take it, are you and your running mate, Senator Harris, contributing to that fear?
No more than the question you just asked him. You pointed out he puts pressure and disagrees with his own scientists.
But you're saying
everybody
you can't, Senator
and
Harris is saying
no,
you can't trust the scientists.
No. Well, no, you can trust the scientists. She didn't say that. You can't trust
the scientists. She said the public health experts, quote, will be muzzled, will
yes.
be suppressed.
Well, that's what he's going to try to do. But there's millions of scientists, there's thousands of scientists out there, like here at this great hospital, that don't work for him. Their job doesn't depend on him. That's not,
right.
They're the people, they're, and by
I
the way.
I spoke to the scientists that are in charge.
By the way.
They will have the vaccine
the
very
scientists
soon.
Scientists that
but
are in charge.
Do you believe for a moment what he's telling you, in light of all the lies he's told you about the whole issue relating to COVID? He still hasn't even acknowledged that he knew this was happening, knew how dangerous it was going to be back in February, and he didn't even tell you. He's on record as saying it. He panicked or he just looked at the stock market, one of the two,
ooh,
because guess
ooh,
what?
Damn.
A lot of people died. And a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart?
Smart?
So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either
smart.
The lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that
I'm
word.
Smart.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years, you've
Whoa.
Done nothing.
Let's have this debate.
And if you would have had, let me just tell you something, Joe.
No,
if you would have had the charge of what I was put through. I had to close the greatest economy in the history of our country. And by the way, now it's being built again.
You see,
and it's
we're
going
to get
up
to the
fast.
Economy in the next segment, sir.
Okay.
It's going up fast.
Okay.
Forward to
when it comes to how the virus has been handled so far, the two of you have taken very different approaches, and this is going to affect how the virus is handled going forward by whichever of you ends
Never
up becoming the next president.
Would just
I want
to
quickly
to
go
like
through
that.
Several of those.
Even
reopenings.
If you hate them.
Vice President Biden, you have been much more reluctant than President Trump about reopening the economy and schools. Why, sir?
Because he doesn't have a plan. If I were running, I'd know what the plan is. You've got to provide these businesses the ability to have the money to be able to reopen with the PPE as well as with the sanitation they need. You have to provide
them
plastic.
Tell that to Nancy Pelosi.
Well, he's just shushed for a minute.
Tell it to Nancy Pelosi. And Schumer.
By the way, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, they have a plan. He won't even meet with them. The Republicans won't meet him in the Senate. But he sits on his golf course. And well, I mean, literally, think about it.
You probably play more than I do.
I've got a hell of an iron trap.
What about this question of reopenings and the fact?
Well, he wants to shut down this country.
I'm not president.
And
yet.
I want to keep it open. And we did a great thing by shutting it down. Wait a minute, Joe. Let me shut you down for a second, Joe, just for 1 second. He wants to shut down the country. We just went through it. We had to because we didn't know anything about the disease. Now we found that elderly people with heart problems and diabetes and different problems are very, very vulnerable. We learned a lot. Young children aren't.
I'm glad Trump didn't call it diabetes.
Even younger people aren't. We've learned a lot. But he wants to shut it down. More people will be hurt by continuing. If you look at Pennsylvania, if you look at certain states that have been shut down, they have Democrat governors all. One of the reasons they're shut down is because they want to keep it shut down until after the election.
I want to move on to another subject. And in fact, recently you have cited the issue of waiters touching their masks and touching plates. Are you questioning
the efficacy of masks? Understand, if Trump's you making Trump look stupid. Here, I put a mask on. You know,
put it on.
Tonight, as an example, everybody's had a test, and you've had social distancing and all of the things that you have to. But I wear masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking.
That non-spreading motherfucker.
He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen. I will say,
Look, the way to open businesses is give them the wherewithal to be able to open. We provided money. The
Congress. But I was asking you, sir, about masks.
Well, masks make a big difference.
With masks, you wear aviators like I do.
The CDC said if we just wore masks between now, if everybody wore masks in social distance between now and January, we'd probably save up to 100,000 lives. It matters.
And they've also said the opposite. They've
and
also said
No serious person said the opposite. Nobody has. Look, Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci said the opposite.
He did not say that. Masks are not good.
Then he changed his mind. He said masks are good. I'm okay with masks.
I want to ask you both about one last.
Masks are not good, but I'm okay with masks.
Your different approaches has even affected the way that you have campaigned. President Trump, you're holding large rallies with crowds packed together, thousands of people.
Outside,
yes, sir. Agreed. Vice President Biden, you are holding much smaller events with...
Because nobody will show up.
People with...
Nobody shows up to his rallies.
All right. In any case, why you holding the big rallies? Why you not? You go first, sir.
Because people want to hear what I have to say. I mean...
But you're the president.
Yes, they do. And I'll have
35,000 people show up at airports.
I love Joe's face.
We use airports.
Are you not worried about the disease issue, sir?
We have a lot of people... Well, so far, we have had no problem whatsoever. It's outside. That's a big difference, according to the
experts. Jesus Christ, dude, what do you mean?
And we do them outside. We have tremendous crowds, as you see. I mean, and literally on 24 hours notice. And Joe does the circles and has three people someplace.
Okay.
By the way, did you see one of the last rallies he had? And a reporter came up to him to ask him a question. He said, no, stand back. Put on your mask. Put on a mask. Have you been tested? I'm way far away from those other people. That's what he said. I'm going to be okay. He's not worried about you. He's not worried about the people out there breathing in one of those.
We've had no negative effect.
We've had
35,000, 40,000 people in these rallies.
Just quickly finish up because I want to move on to our next.
Yes, I will. He's been totally irresponsible in which he has handled the social distancing outbreak, people wearing masks, basically encouraged them not to.
No negative effect.
All right.
Then he's a fool on this.
If you could get the crowds, you would have done the same thing. But you can't. Nobody cares.
Gentlemen, can we move on to the economy?
Yes.
The economy
I think it's fair to say, recovering
faster than expected from the shutdown.
Much faster.
In the second quarter, the unemployment rate fell to 8.4% last month.
I'm so entertained.
The Federal Reserve says the hit to growth,
like,
which is going to be there,
is not going to be nearly as big as they had expected.
President Trump, you say we are in a V-shaped
economic
recovery.
Economic Tourette.
Vice President Biden, you say it's more of a K-shape. What difference does that mean to the American people in terms of the economy? President Trump, in this segment, you go first.
So we built the greatest economy in history. We closed it down because of the China plague. When the plague came in, we closed it down, which was very hard psychologically to do. He didn't think we should close it down, and he was wrong. And again, 2 million people would be dead now.
You didn't close it down.
Still, 204,000 people is too much. One person is too much. Should have never happened from China. But what happened is we closed it down, and now we're reopening, and we're doing record business. We had 10.4 million people in a four-month period that we've put back into the workforce. That's a record the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. And he wants to close down he will shut it down again. He will destroy this country. You know, a lot of people, between drugs and alcohol and depression, when you start shutting it down, you take a look at what's happening at some of your Democrat-run states where they have these tough shutdowns. And I'm telling you, it's because they don't want to open it. One of them came out last week. You saw that. Oh, we're going to open up on November 9th. Why November 9th? Because it's after the election. They think they're hurting us by keeping them closed. They're hurting people. People know what to do. They can social distance. They can wash the hands. They can wear masks. They can do whatever they want. But they got to open these states up. When you look at North Carolina, when you look, and these governors are under siege, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and a couple of others, you got to open these states up. It's not fair. You're talking about almost, it's like being in prison. And you look at what's going on with divorce.
Yes.
Look at what's going on with alcoholism and drugs. It's a very, very sad thing. And he'll close down the whole country. This guy will close down the whole country and destroy our country. Our country is coming back incredibly well, setting records as it does it. We don't need somebody to come in and say, let's shut it down.
All right. Your 2 minutes, sir. We're now moved to you. As I said, posing the question, the president says it's a V-shaped recovery. You say it's a K-shaped recovery.
No, it's Q.
What's the difference?
God damn it.
The difference is millionaires and billionaires like him, in the middle of a COVID crisis, have done very well. Another billionaires have made another $300 billion because of his profligate tax proposal, and he only focused on the market. But you folks at home, you folks living in Scranton and Claymont and all the small towns and working class towns in America, how well are you doing? This guy paid a total of $750 in taxes.
Not you, Bobby.
Wait, no, sir. It's just
the wrong statement.
Yeah, I understand. You've agreed to the 2 minutes, so please let him have it.
Do I get my time back? The fact is that he has, in fact, worked on this in a way that he's going to be the first president of the United States to leave office, having fewer jobs in his administration than when he became president. Fewer jobs than when he became president. First one in American history. Secondly, the people who have lost their jobs are those people who have been on the front lines, those people who have been saving our lives, those people who have been out there dying, people who have been putting themselves in the way to make sure that we could all try to make it.
People who need
and the idea
the
that
ACA.
He is insisting that we go forward and open when you have almost half the states in America with a significant increase in COVID deaths and COVID cases in the United States of America. And he wants to open it up more. Why does he want to open it up? Why doesn't he take care of the American? You can't fix the economy until you fix the COVID crisis. And he has no intention of doing anything about making it better for you all at home in terms of your health and your safety. Schools, why aren't schools open? Because it costs a lot of money to open them safely. You know, they were going to give, his administration was going to give the teachers and school students masks. And then they decided, no, couldn't do that because it's not a national emergency. Not a national emergency.
Then what is?
They've done nothing to help small businesses. Nothing. They're closing. One in six is now gone. He ought to get on the job and take care of the needs of the American people so we can open safely.
All right. Your time is up, sir.
One,
we're going to get to
I have to respond to this.
Well, you both had 2 minutes, sir.
Trump actually shut the fuck up.
So did you.
People want their schools. No, people want their schools open. They don't want to be shut down. They don't want their state shut down. They want their restaurants. I look at New York. It's so sad what's happening in New York. It's almost like a ghost town. And I'm not sure it can ever
recover. New York is a ghost town.
People want their places open. They want to get back to their life. They'll be careful, but they want their schools open. I'm the one that brought back football. By the way, I brought back Big Ten football. It was me, and I'm very happy to do it. And
all right,
people of Ohio are very proud of me. And
he's trying to plug the states.
Gentlemen, we're going to get to your economic plans going forward in a moment. But first, Mr. President,
we got Florida coming up.
As you well know, there's a new report
put your bets in now.
That in 2016, the year you were elected president,
Michigan,
in 2017, your first year as president, that you paid $750 yes, a year in federal
oh,
income
here
tax
we go.
Oh, here
each
is,
of those
here
years.
Is.
I know that you pay a lot of other taxes, but I'm asking you the specific question. Is it true that you paid $750
no, it's fake news.
In federal income taxes each of those 2 years?
I paid millions of dollars in taxes, millions of dollars of income tax. And let me just tell you, there was a story in one of the papers.
Show
I paid,
us your tax
I paid $38 million 1 year. I paid $27
million
Show
us your tax
returns.
Lock
I went. You'll see
Lock
it as soon as it's
up.
Finished. You'll see
Lock
it. You know, if you want to do, go to the Board of Elections. There's a 118-page or so report that says everything I have, every bank I have, I'm totally under-leveraged because the assets are extremely good.
That's not true.
And we have a very, we have a, we, I built
Sir,
a great
I'm asking
company.
You a specific question, which
but
is.
But let me tell you.
I understand all of that.
Your tax
I understand
return.
All of that.
But let me.
No, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I'm asking you a question.
No,
will
Mr.
You
President.
Tell us
I tell you
how
what,
much
Chris
you paid in federal income
so
taxes
yeah.
in 2016 and 2017?
Millions of dollars.
You paid millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
So
yes.
not 750.
Millions of dollars. And you'll get this.
I believe this is public record.
But let me just
say, and,
Chris, let me just say something that it was
What's
the tax
the Miranda
laws.
Right?
I don't want to pay tax. Before I
you
came
had
here,
the right to remain silent.
I was a private developer. I was a private business people. Like
Anything
every other
you say
private
will
person,
and can be
stupid,
held against you in the court of law.
They go through the laws, and that's what it is.
Your
he passed
orange
a tax
hair
bill
will match your orange
that gave us all these privileges for depreciation and for tax credits. We build a building and we get tax credits like the hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. You get
okay.
a massive,
Look at Joe's
which,
face.
By the way, was given to me by the Obama administration, if you can believe that. Now, the man got fired right
yeah.
after that happened. But
Vice President Biden, you want to respond?
Yeah, I do want to respond.
Look, the fuck?
The tax
now
code that made him, the, put him in a position that he pays less tax than a school teacher make on the money a school teacher makes is because
Fucking
of
school teachers.
Him take he says he's smart
Rassles.
Because he can take advantage of the tax code, and he does take advantage of the tax code. That's why I'm going to eliminate the Trump tax cuts, and
good.
I'm going to eliminate those
okay.
taxes.
You say good
and make sure that we
no,
invest in
we
the
agree.
People who in fact need the help. People out there need help.
But why didn't you do it over 20, the last 25 years?
Because you weren't president. Because you weren't president screwing things up.
You were a senator.
You're
the
worst president
Weiss.
America has ever had.
Hey,
come
Joe,
on.
Let me just say, Joe, I've done more in 47 months.
Put up
I've
them
done
50
more
counts.
Than you've
ah,
done in 47 years, Joe. We've done things that you never even thought of
okay.
doing, including
Gentlemen.
Fixing the broken military that you gave me, including taking care
we're
of your
talking,
I didn't know the
Mr.
military
President,
is broken.
We're talking about the economy. I'd like to ask you about your plans going forward, because, Mr. Vice President, your economic plan, if you were to be
yes,
elected president, focuses a lot on big government, big taxes, big spending.
I
want to focus
fight.
First on the taxes. You propose more than $4 trillion over a decade in new taxes on individuals making more than $400,000 a year and on corporations. President Trump says that that kind of an increase in taxes is going to hurt the economy as it's just coming out of a recession.
Well, just take a look at what as the analysis has been done by Wall Street firms. Points out that my economic plan would create 7 million more jobs than his in 4 years, number one. And number two, it would create an additional $1 trillion in economic growth because it would be about buying American. That we have to, we're going to make this federal government spend $600 billion a year on everything from ships to steel to buildings and the like. And under my proposal, we're going to make
right
sure that every penny
real
of
things.
That has to be made by a company.
But respectfully,
in
sir, I'm talking about taxes, not spending.
Oh, well, by the way, I'm going to eliminate a significant number of the taxes. I'm going to make the corporate tax 28%. It shouldn't be 21%.
Yeah.
You have 91 companies, in the Fortune 500, who don't pay a single penny in tax, making billions of dollars.
Why didn't you do it
billions
before
of dollars.
When you were vice president with Obama?
Because you, in fact, passed that. That
That's
was
right.
your
I
tax
it.
Proposal.
I got it done. And you know what happened?
Yeah, you got it done.
Our economy boomed
and
like it's never boomed
the economy.
Well,
the
stock market.
Let me finish.
Mr. President, let me pick up on that. You would continue your free market approach, lower taxes, more deregulation, correct?
Not lower taxes, American people.
But in Obama's, you talk about the economy booming. It turns out that in Obama's final 3 years as president, more jobs were created, 1.5 million more jobs than in the first 3 years of your presidency.
Oh. The slowest recovery since 19 economic recovery since 1929. It was the slowest recovery. Also, they took over something that was down here. All you had to do is turn on the lights and you pick up a lot. But they had the slowest economic recovery since 1929. Let me tell you about the stock market. When the stock market goes up, that means jobs. It also means 401ks. If you got in, if you ever became president with your ideas, you want to terminate my taxes, I'll tell you what, you'll lose half of the companies that have poured in here will leave, and plenty of companies that are already here, they'll leave for other places. They will leave, and you will have a depression the likes of which you've never seen.
Except for COVID.
We inherited the worst recession short of a depression in American history. I was asked to bring it back. We were able to have an economic recovery that created the jobs you're talking about.
Yeah.
We handed him a booming economy. He blew it.
It wasn't
He blew it.
It was the weakest recovery since
1929. Is it fair to say he blew it when there was record low unemployment before COVID?
Yeah, but because what he did, even before COVID, manufacturing went in the hole. Manufacturing went in a hole.
Excuse me, Chris.
Number two.
Chris.
Number three.
They said you're number two.
No.
Chris. They said it would take a miracle to bring back manufacturing. I brought back 700,000 jobs. They brought back nothing. They gave up on manufacturing.
I'm the guy that brought back the automobile industry.
He totally gave up on manufacturing.
All right, let him
we brought back, I was asked to bring back Chrysler and General Motors. We brought them back right here in the state of Ohio and Michigan.
Ooh.
He blew it. They're gone. He blew it. And in fact, they're going.
Ohio had the best year it's ever had last year. Michigan had the best year they've ever had.
That is not
many
true.
Many car companies came in from Germany, from Japan, went to Michigan, went to Ohio.
They're not having
and they didn't come in with you.
Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
And so you take a look at what he's actually done. He's done very little. His trade deals are the same way. He talks about these great trade deals. You know, he talks about the art of the deal. China's perfected the art of the steal.
Ooh.
We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with
ate
Mexico.
Your lunch, down all right, 18%. China ate your lunch, Joe. And no wonder your son goes in and he takes out billions of dollars.
Takes out billions of dollars
to manage. He makes millions of dollars. And also, just out of curiosity, the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it?
Go to Russia, Trump? Do you really want to bring in Russia?
$183,000. Faster question, let him answer.
None of that is true.
Oh, really?
Totally
Mr. President, please.
Totally discredited. Totally discredited. And by the way,
he didn't get $3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got $3.5 million.
It is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr. President? It's an open discussion. Please,
it's a fact.
Raised an issue. Let the Vice
totally
President answer.
Discredited.
Did Burisma pay him $183,000 a month with no experience in energy?
My son did nothing.
Do you really want to be bringing no experience,
Mr. President?
Do you really want to go there?
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth. His position has been totally, thoroughly discredited.
By who?
In Ukraine.
The media.
By everybody. Well, by the media, by our allies, by the World Bank, by everyone has discredited.
I feel like this is rock and talk.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead, mister. I'm listening to you.
You got $3.5 million from Moscow.
He testified under oath in his administration.
And how much did you get?
Said,
are you just jealous that he got paid?
I did very well.
Damn it, Judy. I
went
$3.5 million.
Go ahead, sir.
Sure, you've already fired most of them because they did a good job.
With you,
you get the final word, mister.
Well, it's hard to get any word in with this clown. Excuse me.
Hey, let me just say to you.
No, Mr. President.
$3.5 million, Joe.
That is simply
why did
not
he deserve $3.5 million from Moscow?
Look, here's the deal. We want to talk about families and ethics.
Ooh.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, here, I told you.
I mean, his family we could talk about all night. His family's already.
My family lost a fortune by coming down and helping us with governance.
And that's
Mr. President,
a great
single one of them.
Yeah, they look poor.
It's not about my family or his family. It's about your family, the American people. He doesn't. That's not true. It doesn't want to talk about what you need, you, the American people. It's about you. That's what we're talking about.
All right, that's the end of the segment. We're moving on.
I'm under the Biden spell.
Well, Vice President,
I'm out.
Can I be honest? It's a very important
question. I was worried about Biden a little bit at the beginning, but he's kicking
his ass. The answer to the question is no.
Ukraine.
No, sir.
With $1 billion, if you don't get rid of
it, you know what? You're not true.
You're
not true.
Listen, old man. This is insane. Stop.
I hate to raise my voice, but
I hate to raise my voice.
Why should I be different than the two of you?
You sit in the corner. You sit in the corner.
We have 5-6 segments. We have ended that segment. We're going to go to the next segment. In that segment, you each are going to have 2 uninterrupted moments. In those 2 uninterrupted moments,
Chris is like, shut the fuck up.
I'm going to ask a question about race, but if you want to answer about something else, go ahead.
I'm done.
Would be better served if we allowed both people to speak with fewer interruptions. I'm appealing to you, sir, to do that.
Well, and him too.
Well, frankly, you've been doing more interrupting than
that's what he does.
He just interrupted it. Well, the thing you've been doing, sir, more interrupting.
No, less than you have. Let's please continue on.
Damn.
The issue of race. Vice President
basically,
Biden,
Chris Wallace said, listen, Mr. President, you're supposed
Trump's
to be the president in the room. Let's stop interrupting.
In Charlottesville 3 years ago, when he talked about very fine people on both sides, was what directly led you to launch this run for president.
Oh, yeah, sure.
President Trump, you have often said that you believe you have done more for black Americans than any president, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. My question for the two of you is, why should voters trust
more black things than
your
opponent
to deal with the race issues facing this country over the next 4 years? Vice President Biden, you go first.
It's about equity and equality. It's about decency.
I'm
it's about the Constitution. And we have never walked away.
Here's Michelle.
Require equity for everyone, equality for the whole of America. But we've never accomplished it. But we've never walked away from it like he has done. It is true. The reason I got in the race is when those people, close your eyes, remember what those people look like coming out of the fields carrying torches, their veins bulging, spewing anti-Semitic bile, and accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan. A young woman got killed. And they asked the president what he thought. He said there were very fine people on both sides. No president has ever said anything like that.
Second
point I'd make to you is that when Mr. Floyd was killed, there was a peaceful protest in front of the White House. What did he do? He came out of his bunker, had the military use tear gas on him so he could walk across to a church and hold up a Bible.
Upside down.
And then what happened after that? The bishop of that very church said that it was a disgrace. The general who was with him said all he ever wants to do is divide people, not unite people at all. This is a president who has used everything as a dog whistle to try to generate racist hatred, racist division. This is a man who, in fact, you talk about helping African Americans. 1 in 1,000 African Americans has been killed because of the coronavirus. And if he doesn't do something quickly, by the end of the year, 1 in 500 will have been killed. 1 in 500 African Americans. This man is the savior of African Americans. This man cares at all. This man's done virtually nothing. Look, the fact is that you have to look at what he talks about. You have to look at what he did. And what he did has been disastrous for the African American community.
So, President Trump, you have 2 minutes. Why should Americans trust you over your opponent to deal with racism?
He did a crime bill, 1994, where you called them super predators, African Americans, super predators, and they've never forgotten it. They've never forgotten it, Joe.
No, sir, it's his 2 minutes.
So you did that, and they call you a super predator, and I'm letting people out of jail now that you have treated the African American population community, you have treated the black community about as bad as anybody in this country. You did the 1990, and that's why, if you look at the polls,
you
I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time, because they saw what you did.
Americans,
you call them
rapists,
super predators, and you've called them worse than that, because you look back at your testimony over the years, you've called them a lot worse than that. As far as the church is concerned, and as far as the generals are concerned, we just got the support
Biden
of 250 military leaders.
Let me get my rosary out, motherfucker.
Law enforcement, almost every law enforcement group in the United States. I have Florida, I have Texas, I have Ohio.
Ohio.
Portland. The sheriff just came out today, and he said, I support President Trump. I don't think you have any law enforcement. You can't even say the word law enforcement, because if you say those words, you're going to lose all of your radical left supporters. And
law
why aren't you saying those words, Joe? Why don't you say the words law enforcement? Because you know what? If they called us in Portland, we would put out that fire in a half an
it's
hour.
The same Portland sheriff.
They didn't call you. You just went in.
Democrats. If you look at Chicago, if you look at any place you want to look, Seattle, they heard we were coming in the following day, and they put up their hands, and we got back Seattle. Minneapolis, we got it back, Joe, because we believe in law and order, but you don't. The top 10 cities and just about the top 40 cities are run by Democrats and, in many cases, radical left. And they've got you wrapped around their finger, Joe, to a point where you don't want to say anything about law and order. And I'll tell you what, the people of this country want and demand law and order, and you're afraid to even say it.
All right. I want to return to the question of race. Vice President Biden, after the grand jury in the Breonna Taylor case decided not to charge any of the police with homicide, you said it raises the question, quote, whether justice could be equally applied in America. Do you believe that there is a separate but unequal system of justice for blacks in this country?
Yes, there is. There's systemic injustice in this country, in education and work and in law enforcement and the way in which it's enforced. But look, the vast majority of police officers are good, decent, honorable men and women. They risk their lives every day to take care of us. But there are some bad apples. And when they occur, when they find them, they have to be sorted out. They have to be held accountable. Yep. They have to be held accountable. Yep. And what I'm going to do as President of the United States is call together an entire group of people at the White House, well, everything from the civil rights groups to the police officers, to the police chiefs, and we're going to work this out. We're going to work this out so we change the way in which we have more transparency in when these things happen. These cops aren't happy to see what happened to George Floyd. These cops aren't happy to see what happened to Breonna Taylor. Most don't like it. But we have to have a system where people are held accountable. And by the way, violence in response is never appropriate. Never appropriate. Peaceful protest is. Violence is never appropriate.
All right,
what is peaceful protest? When they run through the middle of a town and burn down
President
your stores and kill people
President
all over
Trump,
the place?
That
and
is not peaceful. President
no,
Trump,
it's
I'm not asking.
But you say it is.
President Trump, I'd like to continue with the issue of race.
Please.
I promise we're going to get to the issue of law and order in a moment. Fine. This month, your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory.
Actual education.
Why
that
did you
helps
decide
people.
To do that, to end racial sensitivity training? And do you believe that there is systemic racism in this country, sir?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because
racist.
A lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military.
You got the art of the
in
deal.
Our schools,
reform it. Don't get rid of it.
All over the place.
All you
and
know
you
how
know
to
it,
do
and
is
so does everybody
what
else.
Radical,
and he would know.
What is radical
it was totally
about racial sensitivity training, sir?
If you were a certain
what's
person,
about racial
you had no status in life. It was sort of a reversal. And if you look at the people, we were paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach very bad ideas and, frankly, very sick ideas. And really, they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
What is he talking about?
We have to go back to the core values of this country. They were teaching people
slavery,
that our country is a horrible
racism.
Place. It's a racist place. And they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Vice President Biden?
Nobody's doing that. He's the racist.
You just don't know.
Here's the deal. I know a lot more about this.
Let him finish.
The fact is that there is racial insensitivity. People have to be made aware of what other people feel like, what insults them, what is demeaning to them. It's important that people know. They
it's
don't
not
want
a threat to
many
anybody.
People don't
it's
want
not
to
a threat
hurt
to
other
whiteness.
People's feelings, but it makes a big difference. It makes a gigantic difference in the way a child is able to grow up and have a sense of self-esteem. It's a little bit like how this guy and his friends look down on so many people. They look down their nose on people like Irish Catholics like me and grew up in Scranton. They look down on people who don't have money. They look down on people who are of a different faith. They look down on people who are a different color. In fact, we're all Americans. The only way we're going to bring this country together is bring everybody together. There's nothing we cannot do if we do it together. We can take this on, and we can defeat racism
Vice
in America.
President, good answer. He's not a little President fluffy. Trump, sir.
During the Obama-Biden not administration, there was tremendous division. There was hatred. You look at Ferguson. You look at You go to very many places. Look at Oakland. Look what happened in Oakland. Look what happened in Baltimore. Look what happened. Frankly, it was more violent than what I'm even seeing now.
Oh, my
but
Lord.
The reason is that ridiculous. The Democrats that
Absolutely
run these cities
ridiculous.
Don't want to talk like you about law and order.
Violent
and you
crime.
You still haven't mentioned.
Violent
Are you
crime.
In favor of law and order?
I'm in favor of law. You follow.
Are you in
it,
favor of law
order.
And order?
Oh.
Yes, I'm
You ask a question.
Of
let him finish.
Law and order.
He loses law and order.
Let him.
Law and order with justice, where people. People get treated fairly.
Good.
And the fact of the matter is violent crime went down 17%, 15% in our administration.
All right.
It's gone up on his watch.
Went down much more
he
than
has,
ours.
All right, we're now, you're, Mr. President, you're going to
be you're Mr. President, goddammit.
Mr. President, you're going to be very happy because we're now going to talk great. About law and order.
Yay, law and order.
He exactly can't even say law and order.
A dramatic increase in homicides in America this summer particularly, and you often blame that on Democratic mayors and Democratic governors, but in fact there have been equivalent spikes in Republican-led cities like Tulsa and Fort Worth. So the question is this really a party issue?
I think it's a party issue. You can bring in a couple
it's
of examples,
all a party,
but
God
if you look at Chicago, what's going on in Chicago, where 53 people were shot and
himself.
Eight died shot.
Shot.
If you look at New York, where
like
it's going
bang,
up
bang.
Like nobody's ever seen anything. The numbers are going up 100, 150, 200%
the
crime. It is crazy what's going on. And he doesn't want to say law and order because he can't, because he'll lose his radical left supporters. And once he does that, it's over with.
Where but is radical
if he
left
ever got to run this are, country,
where are they going
to
go?
They ran it the
know.
Way he would want to run it. We would have, our suburbs would be gone. By
suburbs.
The way, our suburbs would be gone. And you would see problems like you've
he
never
would
seen.
He would know right. a suburb unless he took a wrong turn.
Oh, I know suburbs.
Oh.
I
was
wait a minute.
I was raised in the suburbs. This is not 1950. All these dog whistles and races don't work anymore. Suburbs are by and large integrated. There's many people today driving their kids to soccer practice and or to black and white and Hispanic in the same car as there have been any time in the past. What really is a threat to the suburbs and their safety is his failure to deal with COVID. They're dying in the suburbs. His failure to deal with the environment. They're being flooded. They're being burned out because his refusal to do anything. That's why the suburbs are in trouble.
I do want to talk about this issue of law and order, though. And in the joint recommendation that came
See,
from
Trump,
the
I can say
Biden, Bernie Sanders task force, you talked about, quote, reimagining policing. Yeah. First of all, what does reimagining policing mean, and do you support...
It means...
Let me, if I might finish the question.
Unicorns.
What does reimagining policing mean, and do you support the Black Lives Matter call for community control of policing?
Look, what I support is the police having the opportunity to deal with the problems they face. And I'm totally opposed to defunding the police officers.
Good answer.
As a matter of fact, police, local police, the only one defunding in his budget calls for a $400 million cut in local law enforcement assistance. They need more assistance. They need, when they show up for a 9/11 call, to have someone with them as a psychologist or psychiatrist to keep
call?
Them from having to use force and be able to talk people down. We have to have community policing like
zero,
we had before, where the officers get to know the people in the community.
That's why that old lady got killed in the commercial.
Went down. It didn't go up. It went down. And so we have to be...
Joe Biden won't put an 11 on the phone.
That's not
what he was a modern lady.
That is not true.
He doesn't have any law support. He has no law enforcement.
That's not true.
Almost
nothing. Look.
Oh, really? Who do you have? Name one group that supports you. Name one group that came out and supported you. Go ahead. Think. We have time.
We don't have time to do anything.
No, no.
All right.
Name one law enforcement group. That came
I
out
think,
and
I think, gentlemen, I think I'm going to take back the
there
moderator's
aren't.
Role,
I don't think
and I want to get to another subject,
no, I'm
which is
continue
the issue
the moderator
of protests in many cities that have turned violent. In Portland, Oregon, especially, we had more than 100 straight days of protests, which I think you would agree, you talk about peaceful protests, many of those turned into riots. Mr. Vice President, you say that people who commit crimes should be held accountable. The question I have, though, is, as the Democratic nominee, and earlier tonight you said that you are the Democratic Party right now, have you ever called the Democratic mayor of Portland or the Democratic governor of Oregon and said, hey, you got to stop this, bring in the National Guard, do whatever it takes, but you'd stop the days and months of violence in Portland?
I don't hold public office now. I am a former vice president. I've made it clear in my public statements that the violence should be prosecuted. It should be prosecuted. And anyone who commits it should be
prosecuted. But you've never called for the people, the leader, excuse me, sir. You had never called for the leaders in Portland and in Oregon to call it, bring in the National Guard and knock off 100 days of riots.
They can, in fact, take care of it if he just stay out of the way. Look here.
Oh, really?
Here's the thing.
I asked him a question. To get the killer of the young man in the middle of the street. They shot him. And for three days,
President Trump,
Portland wouldn't do anything. I had him sent in the U.S. Marshals.
President Trump took
care of business.
Go ahead, sir.
And by the way, you know, his own former spokesperson said, you know, riots and chaos and violence help his cause. That's what this is all about.
I don't know who said that.
I do.
Who?
I think... Kellyanne Conway.
I don't think she said that.
She said that. And so here's the...
All right.
Well, here's the point.
The point is that
that's what he is keeps trying to rile everything up. He doesn't want to calm things down. Instead of going in and talking to people and saying, let's get everybody together, figure out how to deal with this. What's he do? He just pours gasoline in the fire.
Jody's
constantly
come up with a reason.
And every single solitary...
Okay,
and
shut down that conflict.
End this, button up this segment. I'm going to give you a minute to answer, sir. You have repeatedly criticized...
Wait, I have to answer
this.
This
is messy right now.
You have repeatedly... You have you've been talking back
and
forth.
The debate has gone from entertaining.
I would love to...
I'm not happy anymore.
You know, if you want to switch seats...
We could very quickly.
We could do that, but I'm
send in the National
it makes
Guard
it hard
would be
to
over.
Jokes.
There'd be no problem.
Okay,
but they don't want to accept the National Guard.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha,
and as
we've seen in Portland?
Name one.
Are you prepared to specifically
do it?
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you? What are you saying?
I'm willing to
name
do anything.
One.
I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name. Give me a
white supremacist.
Who would you like me to condemn?
Proud Boys. Racist.
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by, but I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a left-wing problem.
Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not
militia.
That's what FBI director
gentlemen,
said.
Well, then you know what?
We're done, sir. We're moving on to the next.
Everybody
Antifa
in your administration tells you the truth is a bad idea.
Can I tell you what?
You have no ideas that are.
Antifa is a dangerous radical group.
All right, gentlemen,
group.
We're now moving on to the Trump and Biden records.
They'll overthrow you.
When a president. I'm going to ask a question.
Yes, they'll overthrow you.
When a president sees a second term, it is generally a referendum on his record. But Vice President Biden, you like to quote one of your dad's sayings, which is, don't compare me to the Almighty.
Papa, can you see me?
Okay, sir, you are the alternative. Looking at both of your records, I'm going to ask each of you, why should voters elect you president over your opponent in this segment? President Trump, you go first, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it should be.
Because there's never
Donald
been
Trump.
An administration or president who has done more than I've done. In a period of 3.5 years. And that's despite the impeachment hoax. And what happened today with Hillary Clinton,
it's
where it was a whole big con job. But despite going through all of these things, where I had to fight both flanks and behind me and above, there has never been an administration that's done what I've done. The greatest, before COVID came in, the greatest economy in history, lowest unemployment numbers, everything was good, everything was going, and by the way, there was unity going to happen. People were calling me for the first time in years, they were calling,
And they were saying, it's time, maybe. Yes. And then what happened? We got hit, but now we're building it back up again. A rebuilding of the military, including Space Force and all of the
Space
other things.
Force.
I don't know when the military was broken.
Which was a mess under him. 308,000 people died because they didn't have proper health care. It was a mess.
So we now got
a 91% approval rating at the VA, our vets. We take care of our vets. But we've rebuilt our military. The job that we've done, and I'll tell you something, some people say maybe the most important. By the end of the first term, I'll have approximately 300 federal judges and Court of Appeals judges. 300, and hopefully three great Supreme Court judges, justices. That is a record the likes of which very few people.
Anybody,
and you know one of the reasons I'll have so many judges? Because President Obama and him left me 128 judges to fill. When you leave office, you don't leave any judges. That's like you just
don't do
that.
What about all the positions
that you have not filled? They left 128 openings, and if I were a member of his party, because they have a little different philosophy, I'd say if you left us 128 openings, you can't be a good president. You can't be a good vice president. But I want to thank you because it gives us almost. It'll probably be above that number by the end of this term.
I'm sorry.
300 judges. It's a record.
Looking at both your records, why should voters elect you president as opposed to President
Under
Trump? You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Under this president, we become weaker, sicker, poorer, more divided, and more violent. When I was vice president,
those are good reasons.
A recession.
I would say.
I was asked to fix it. I did. We left him a
booming
economy. Oh. And he caused a recession. With regard to being weaker, the fact is that I've gone head to head with Putin and made it clear to him we're not going to take any of his stuff. He's Putin's puppy. He still refuses to even say anything to Putin about the bounty on the heads of American soldiers.
Your son got $3 million.
And by the way, my son.
Wait a minute. Mr. President, your campaign agreed to both sides would get 2 minutes. Answers uninterrupted. Well, your side agreed to it, and
I didn't
you observe
agree. What I don't know. I don't know who my campaign
never
is.
Keeps his
I haven't
done.
He never keeps
his
I'm not asking. That was a rhetorical question.
Can you
go ahead,
back
sir.
30 seconds?
Yeah. Yes, okay. You may have.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, thirdly, we're poor. The billionaires have gotten much more wealthy, by a tune of over $300 to $400 billion more just since COVID. You in the home, you got less. You're in more trouble than you were before.
Ooh.
In terms of being more violent, when we were in office, there were 15% less violence in America than there is today. He's president of the United States. It's on his watch. And with regard to more divided, the nation can't stay divided. We can't be this way. And speaking of my son, the way you talk about the military, the way you talk about them being losers and being
suckers.
And just being suckers.
Ooh.
My son was in Iraq. He spent a year there. He got the Bronze Star. He got the Conspicuous Service Medal. He was not a loser. He was a patriot. And the people left behind there were heroes.
Really?
And I resent.
Are you talking
like
about Hunter?
Hell.
Are you talking about
I'm
Hunter?
I'm talking about my son, Bo Biden. You're talking
about.
I don't know Bo.
I know Hunter.
Yeah,
Hunter
you know
got
Bo.
Thrown. Hunter got
I
thrown
don't know
out
Bo.
Of the military.
Right, you don't know Bo.
Out, dishonorably discharged.
That's not true.
For
it wasn't dishonorable.
Cocaine use. And he didn't have a job until you became vice president. Once you
None
became vice president,
true.
He made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow, in several areas.
That's
not places.
True.
He
my
made
son,
a fortune.
Gentlemen, my son.
And he didn't have a job.
My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it. He's worked on it. And I'm proud of him.
But why
I'm
was
proud
he given tens
son.
Of millions
All right.
But he wasn't given
All right.
tens of millions
of dollars.
That is totally, that's
President
a totally discredited.
We've already been through this. I think the American people would rather hear about more substantial
so
subjects. Well, you know, as the moderator, sir, I'm going to make a judgment call here.
I know, but when somebody
here.
Gets $3.5 million
okay,
from the
let's
mayor
talk about,
of Moscow,
let's talk
that
about,
is
not
I think true. It's a
Gentlemen,
thing.
Report is totally
Why
discredited.
Did he get it?
I
Mitt
think,
Romney on that committee said it wasn't worth taxpayers' money, that report. It was written for political
oh,
reasons.
Oh,
you
know, damn.
I'd like to talk about climate change.
So would I.
Okay.
I'm ready. Bring
them
on.
Are raging now. They have burned millions of acres.
I'm recycling, bitches.
Trump made himself like an asshole.
Hundreds of
oh
thousands
my God,
of people.
God.
When state officials there blame the fires on climate change,
wow.
Mr. President, you said,
Dude.
I don't think The science knows. Over your 4 years,
I don't think the science
you have
knows.
Pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate
Debate
Accord.
Winner, Chris Wallace.
You have rolled back a number of Obama environmental records. What do you believe about the science of climate
Good
change?
Good question, man.
And
Ooh.
What will you Woo. Do in the next
will
4 years
to confront it? Will you say that climate change
is real? I want crystal clean water and air. I want beautiful clean air. We have now the lowest carbon. If you look at
like,
our numbers
if
right
you go
now,
to a kindergarten,
we are
what would you
doing
like?
Phenomenal.
I'd like crystal water.
But I haven't
water,
destroyed our businesses.
And,
our
know,
businesses
clean
aren't put
clouds,
out of
world
commission.
Peace, and,
if
you know,
look
the
at the Paris Accord, it was a disaster from our standpoint. And people are actually very happy about what's going on.
Gotta put the Vaseline on the teeth.
Because our business is doing well. As far as the fires are concerned, you need forest management in addition to everything else.
You need to rake
the
those forest floors.
Are loaded
oh,
with
you let it!
Years old, and they're like tinder, and leaves and everything else. You can't figure it in there. The whole
they've
forest
got,
burns down.
Trees,
you
leaves.
Forest management.
What do you
you've
believe? What do you believe about the science of climate change?
I believe that we have to do everything we can to have immaculate air, immaculate water, and do whatever else we can that's good. You know,
he
we're planting
and you know
a
what
billion
does that?
Trees,
it's
the
fracking.
Billion Tree Project, and it's very exciting.
Do you believe that human pollution, gas, greenhouse gas emissions contributes to the global warming of this planet?
I think
planet?
A lot of things do, but I think to an extent, yes. I think to an extent, yes, oh. But I also think we have to do better management of our forests. Every
what are you talking
year,
about?
I get the call, California's about. Burning. California's burning. If that was cleaned, if that were, if you had forest management, good forest management, you wouldn't be getting those calls. You know, in Europe, they live, they have forest cities. They're called forest cities. They maintain their forests. They manage
deserts.
Their forests. I was
right.
with the head of a major country.
In Norway.
It's a forest city.
Yeah.
We
like,
said,
next
sir,
to the fjords.
We have trees that are far more, they ignite. Much
it rains
than
all
California.
The fucking time.
It shouldn't be that problem. I spoke with the governor about it. I'm getting along very well with the governor.
You know, if there's
but
forest
I said,
fires
you know,
in
at some
England,
point, you can't right, every year right. have hundreds of thousands of acres of land
Australia
just burned to the
fires.
Ground.
But, sir,
that's burning
you know
down because
in?
Of a lack
a
of management.
Sir, if you believe in the science of climate change, why have you rolled back the Obama Clean Power Plan,
cities.
Which limited yeah. carbon emissions in power
Chris
plants?
Wallace
why have you relaxed?
Because it was driving energy prices through the sky.
Why have you relaxed fuel economy standards that are going to create more pollution from cars
well,
and
not
trucks.
Really, because what's happening is
not
the
really,
car is
did.
Much less expensive, and it's a much safer car, and you're what? Talking about a tiny difference, and then
Chris
what would happen, because of the cost
NBC
of the car, you would have
he's
at gonna, least
he's gonna be
double
lean into Rachel
triple
Maddow.
The number of cars purchased. We have the old slugs out there that are 10, 12 years old. If you did that, the car would be safer, it would be much cheaper by
$3,500. California, they've simply ignored
No, but you would take
your,
a lot of cars off the market, because people would be able to afford a car. Now, so, and by the way, we're going to see how that turns out.
Joe
but a lot
just,
of people agree with me. Many people. The car
he's
has gotten
roll,
so
man.
Expensive
he's
because they
roll.
Have computers all over the place for an extra little
they
bit.
They have computers
of,
all
of
over the place.
And, by
the,
not, and I'm okay with electric cars, too. I think I'm all for electric cars. I've given big
I've
incentives
electric
for electric limo. Cars. But what they've done in California is just
all
crazy.
Right. Vice President Biden, I'd like you to respond to the president's
the
climate
hell?
Change record, but I also want to ask you about a concern. You proposed $2 trillion in green jobs. You talk about new limits, not abolishing, but new limits on fracking, ending the use of fossil fuels to generate electricity by 2035, and zero net emission of greenhouse gases by 2050. The president says a lot of these things would tank the economy and cost millions of jobs.
He's absolutely wrong, number one. Number two, if, in fact, during our administration, the Recovery Act, I was in charge, able to bring down the cost of renewable energy to cheaper than or as cheap as coal
facts.
And gas and
facts.
Oil. Nobody's going to build
facts.
Another
fake facts.
Coal-fired plant in America. No one's going to build another oil-fired plant in America.
Right.
They're going to move to renewable energy, number one. Number two, we're going to make sure that we are able to take the federal fleet and turn it into a fleet that's run on their electric vehicles. Making sure that we can do that, we're going to put 500,000 charging stations and all of the highways that we're going to be building in the future. We're going to build an economy
Ooh,
that, in fact, is going to provide for the ability of us to take 4 million buildings and make sure that they, in fact, are weatherized in a way that, in fact, they'll emit
jobs.
Significantly
yeah.
less
yeah.
gas and
jobs.
Oil because the heat will not be going out. There's so many things that we can do now to create thousands and thousands of jobs. We can get to net zero in terms of energy production by 2035, not only not costing people jobs, creating jobs, creating millions of good paying jobs, not $15 an hour, but prevailing wage by having a new infrastructure that in fact
Hopefully
is green.
I'm alive to see this.
And the first thing I will do, I will rejoin the Paris Accord. I will join the Paris Accord because with us out of it, look what's happening. It's all falling apart. And talk about someone who has no relationship with foreign policy. Brazil, the rainforests of Brazil are being torn down, are being ripped down. More carbon is absorbed in that rainforest than every bit of carbon that's emitted in the United States. Instead of doing something about that, I would be gathering up and making sure we had the countries of the world coming up with $20 billion and say, here's $20 billion. Stop tearing down the forest. And if you don't, then you're going to have significant economic consequences.
What about the argument that President Trump basically says that you have to balance environmental interests and economic interests, and he's drawn his line?
Well, he hadn't drawn the line. He still, for example, makes sure that he wants to make sure that methane's not a problem. We can you can now emit more methane without it being a problem. Methane. This is a guy who says that you don't have to have mileage standards for automobiles that exist now. This is a guy who says that. Well, the fact that it's all true. And here's the deal.
He's talking about the Green New Deal, and it's not $2 billion or $20 billion, as you said. It's $100 trillion.
I'm talking about
where they want to rip down buildings and rebuild the building. It's the dumbest, most ridiculous. Where airplanes are out of business, where two-car systems are out of business.
No more airplanes.
No more airplanes.
That's not true either, right?
Those airplanes that go vroom vroom in the sky, they're gone.
More money than our country could make in 100 years if we're
not
going
the case.
All right, let me destroy because I actually wait a minute, sir. I actually have studied your plan, and it includes upgrading 4 million buildings, weatherizing 2 million homes over 4 years, building 1.5 million energy efficient homes. So the question becomes, the president is saying, I think some people who support the president would say that sounds like it's going to cost a lot of money and hurt the economy.
What it's going to do is going to create thousands and millions of jobs, good-paying jobs.
But let him finish, sir.
He doesn't know how to do that.
$100 billion.
The fact is, it's going to create millions of good-paying jobs, and these tax incentives for people to weatherize, which he wants to get rid of. It's going to make the economy much safer. Look how much we're paying now to deal with the hurricanes.
Right.
By the way, he has an answer for hurricanes. He said maybe we should drop a nuclear weapon on them. They may not have never said that.
Goes boom.
And here's the deal.
You make up a
We're going to be in a position where
you can
create hard,
you make up my words
by making sure the environment is clean and we all are in better shape. We spend billions of dollars now. Billions of dollars on floods, hurricanes, rising seas. We're in real trouble. Look what's happened just in the Midwest with these storms that come through and wipe out entire sections and counties in Iowa. That didn't happen before. They're because of global warming. We make up 15% of the world's problem. The rest of the world, we've got to get them to come along. That's why we have to get back into the Paris Accord.
All right, gentlemen.
Wait a minute, Chris. So why didn't he do it for 47 years? You were vice president. Why didn't you get the world? China sends up real dirt into the air. Russia does.
Real
India
dirt.
Does
Not that big dirt that we send up.
Supposed to be good. And by the way, he made a couple of statements. The Green New Deal is $100 trillion.
That is not my plan.
That's
the Green New Deal.
Mine's green. His is not green.
He made a statement about the military. He said I said something about the military. He and his friends made it up, and then they went with it. I never said it.
Okay.
That is
what he did.
You're done in this segment.
He called the military stupid bastards.
I
did not. He said it on tape. He said stupid bastards.
Please, stop.
I would never say that.
Play it.
Go ahead. Mr. Vice President answered his final question. What?
The final question is, I can't remember which of all his ranties.
I'm having a little trouble myself. But, about the economy and about this question of what it's going to cost.
The economy.
The Green New Deal and the idea of what your environmental changes will do.
The Green New Deal will pay for itself as we move forward. We're not going to build plants that, in fact, are great polluting plants.
Could you support the Green New Deal?
Pardon me?
You support?
No, I don't support the Green New Deal.
Oh, you don't? Oh, well, that's a big statement.
I support the
Biden. That means you just lost the radical left.
I support the Biden plan that I put forward.
Okay.
The Biden plan, which is different than what he calls the radical
Green New
Deal.
It's the Green New Biden plan.
Yeah, that's a new name for it.
Election integrity. As we meet tonight, millions of Americans
are receiving
mail-in ballots going to vote early.
I thought we'd be talking a lot more.
I thought we would, but we're just kind of,
watching. And what are we prepared to do?
Hey, at least we're trying, right?
We're trying. We're getting
there. It was a great idea.
Because it'll not only be to Election Day, but also...
Hey, at least we got a new episode out this week.
Mailing ballots after Election Day. What are you prepared to do to reassure the American people that the next president will be the legitimate winner of this election in this final segment? Mr. Vice President, you go first.
Prepared to let people vote. They should go to iwillvote.com. Decide how they're going to vote, when they're going to vote, and what means by which they're going to vote. His own Homeland Security director, as well as the FBI director, says there is no evidence at all that mail-in ballots are a source of being manipulated and cheating. They said that. The fact is that there are going to be millions of people because of COVID that are going to be voting by mail-in ballots. Like he
You're
does,
fired.
He sits behind the Resolute desk and sends his ballot to Florida.
Trump's going to fire Biden right
now.
You're fired
we're going to
from
make
the Democratic
sure that
nominee.
Those people who want to vote in person are able to vote because enough poll watchers are there to make sure they can socially distance. The polls are open on time, and the polls stay open until the votes are counted. And this is all about trying to dissuade people from voting because he's trying to scare people into thinking that it's not going to be legitimate. Show up and vote. You will determine the outcome of this election. Vote, vote, vote. If you're able to vote early in your state, vote early. If you're able to vote in person, vote in person. Vote
whatever way is the best way
for you.
What
because
does he want us
you
to do?
Will, he cannot
Trump's
stop
like,
you
he just said
from being
wins.
Able to determine the outcome of this election.
Hey, that was my
in
idea.
In terms of whether or not when the votes are counted and they're all counted, that will be accepted. If I win, that will be accepted.
Trump
if I
looks
lose,
at the camera.
Accepted.
It's like
but
fucking
by the way,
terrifying.
If in
right.
fact he says he's not sure
he's
what he's going to accept, well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter because if we get the votes, it's going to be all over. He's going to go. He can't stay in power. It won't happen. It won't happen. So vote. Just make sure you understand you have it in your control to determine what this country is going to look like the next 4 years. Is it going to change
in
four more years of these
lives?
Nancy
Pelosi becomes a president.
Mr. President, 2 minutes.
So when I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election. And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came
down the
escalator with
our first
lady.
They
were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about
it. In the sense that the guy you went after went to jail.
As far as the ballots are concerned, it's a disaster.
A disaster.
Solicited ballot.
Except for my vote, okay. That was immaculate.
You're soliciting. You're asking. They send it back. You send it back. I did that. If you have an unsolicited, they're sending millions of ballots all over the country. There's fraud. They found them in creeks. They found some with the name Trump. Just happened to have the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket. They're being sent all over the place. They sent two in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got 2 ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen. The other thing, it's nice on November 3rd, you're watching and you see who won the election. And I think we're going to do well because people are really happy with the job we've done. But you know what? We won't know. We might not know for months because these ballots are going to be all over. Take a look at what happened in Manhattan. Take a look at what happened in New Jersey. Take a look at what happened in Virginia and other places. They're not losing 2%, 1%, which, by the way, is too much. An election could be won or lost with that. They're losing 30 and 40%. It's a fraud and it's a shame. And can you imagine where they say, you have to have your ballot in by November 10th. November 10th. That means that's 7 days after the election, in theory, should have been announced.
Okay.
We have major states with that.
Sir,
all run by Democrats.
2 minutes is 2 minutes.
All run by Democrats. It's
President Trump.
It's a rigged election.
You're going to be able to continue.
Unless I win.
Mail-in balloting is going to be a disaster. You say it's rigged, that it's going to lead to fraud. But in 2018, in the last midterm election, 31 million people voted mail-in voting. That was a quarter, more than a quarter, of all the voters that year cast their ballots by mail. Now that millions of mail-in ballots have gone out, what are you going to do about it? And are you counting on the Supreme Court, including a Justice Barrett, to settle any dispute?
Yeah, I think I'm counting on them to look at the ballots, definitely. I don't think, well, I hope we don't need them in terms of the election itself. But for the ballots, I think so.
The ballots.
Because
check the ballots.
What's happening is incredible.
They're going to count all the ballots.
At least 1% of the ballots.
How many million divided by nine? Start
were invalidated.
Kavanaugh's going to count 30 million himself.
There are millions of ballots going out.
What
right
you do
now.
Is you go and vote. You do a solicited ballot, and that's okay, or you go and vote.
I'm asking you about the fact that millions of people.
You go and vote. You go and vote
like
they used to
in the old millions of people.
You either do, Chris, a solicited ballot where you're sending it in, they're sending it back, and you're sending. They have mailmen with lots of it. Did you see what's going on? Take a look at West Virginia. Mailmen selling the ballots. They're being sold. They're being dumped in rivers. This is a horrible thing for our country.
This is not going to end well. Five states have had mail-in ballots for the last decade or more, five, including two Republican states. And you don't have to solicit the ballot. It's sent to you. It's sent to your home. What we're saying is, they're saying is that it has to be a postmark by the time, by election day. If it doesn't get in till the 7th, 8th, 9th, it still should be counted.
Yeah. What about all the military
counting the votes
around the world? That's how we voted for a long time.
I want to continue with you on this, Vice President Biden.
Chris, he's so wrong when he makes a statement like that.
No, excuse me. Vice President Biden, the biggest problem, in fact, over the years with mail-in voting has not been fraud historically. It has been that sizable number, sometimes hundreds of thousands of ballots are thrown out because they have not been properly filled out, or there is some other irregularity, or
that
they missed the deadline. So the question I have is, are you concerned that the Supreme Court, with a Justice Barrett, will settle any dispute?
I am concerned that any court would settle this, because here's the deal. When you get a ballot and you fill it out, you're supposed to have an affidavit. If you didn't know, you have someone say that this is me. You should be able to, if in fact you can verify that's you before the ballot is thrown out, that's sufficient to be able to count the ballot because someone made a mistake and not dotting the correct I. Who they voted for, testify, say who they voted for, say it's you, that is totally legitimate.
All right.
Excuse me, when you have 80 million ballots, swamping the system.
You know it can't be done.
You know it can't. And already
all right,
been
so now.
And what are you doing to help that?
Gentlemen,
nothing.
Final question is, in eight states, we can keep talking.
In eight states,
election workers are prohibited, currently by law, eight states, from even beginning to process ballots, even take them out of the envelopes and flatten them. Until election day. That means that it's likely, because there's going to be a huge increase in mail-in balloting, that we are not going to know on election night who the winner is, that it could be days, it could be weeks.
Could be months.
Until we find out who the new president is. So, first for you, sir, finally for the vice president,
I hope
either of you will
interrupt
the other. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm during this extended period? Not to engage in any civil unrest, and will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it. As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They were called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things. And I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board. But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that.
And I'll tell you what
does that mean,
from a common sense,
does that mean you're
going
to tell
your
people to take to the street?
It means you have a fraudulent election. You're sending out 80 million ballots. They're not equipped to. These people aren't equipped to handle it. Number one. Number two, they cheat. They cheat. Hey, they found.
They can't handle it. Those cheaters can't handle it.
And they all had the name military ballots. They were military. They all had the name Trump on them.
Vice President
Biden. You think that's good?
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted? And will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes. And here's the deal. They count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until election day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it. And by the way, our military, they've been voting by ballots for since the end of the Civil War.
Oh, there's a clip, Brandon. I'm in it.
And that's what's going to happen. Why was it not? Why is it for them somehow not fraudulent? It's the same process. It's honest. No one has established at all that there is fraud related to mail-in ballots, that somehow it's a fraudulent process.
It's already been established. Take a look at Carolyn Maloney's race.
You had an opportunity
look
to respond.
Look at Carolyn
Maloney. Go ahead.
They have no idea what
Vice
happened.
Vice President Biden, go ahead.
He has no idea what he's talking about. Here's the deal. The fact is, I will accept it, and he will too. You know why? Because once the winner is declared after all the ballots are counted, all the votes are counted, that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it. And if it's me, in fact, fine. If it's not me, I'll support the outcome. And I'll be a president not just for the Democrats. I'll be a president for Democrats and Republicans. And this guy,
I want to see
fact,
an honest ballot cut.
Gentlemen, you say that's the end of it? This is the end of this debate?
Oh, Chris is like, no, I'm fucking done.
To be continued as in more debates
we're
as we
he
go
just
on.
Dropped.
President Trump. Vice President Biden, it's been an interesting hour and a half.
Holy
I want
shit.
To thank you both for participating in the first of three debates that you have agreed to engage in. We want to thank Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic for hosting this event. The next debate, sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates, will be 1 week from tomorrow, October 7th, at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. The two vice presidential nominees, Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris.
God, I got to get
the debate at 9 p.m. Eastern that night. We hope you watch. Until then, thank you and good night.
Well, everybody, I would have to say...
Oh, they're looking at each other.
They're looking at each other.
They're looking. They're looking. Some pointing.
They're just going to be awkward.
It's really. Oh, there's Melania.
Oh God.
Do I go on stage now?
Okay. Well, if anybody stood with us through this debate
and
is actually listening to us,
Jesus.
Thanks for hanging out.
They touch each other awkward. That was even worse than no handshake. All right.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Jesus,
it was real.
I'm sorry.
we probably weren't as entertaining as we normally
would. We tried.
And we tried.
All righty.
So thanks, everybody. And thanks for listening to this special edition of FDR's Wheelchair. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.